Part 2. Money and Markets. Chapter 3. The Ruin of Markets. The man of system seems to imagine that he can arrange the different members of a great society with as much ease as the hand arranges the different pieces upon a chessboard. He does not consider that in the great chessboard of human society, every single piece has a principle of motion of its own. Adam Smith, The Theory of Moral Sentiments, 1759. The data from which the economic calculus starts are never for the whole society given to a single mind which could work out the implications, and can never be so given. Friedrich A. Hayek, 1945. Any statistical regularity will tend to collapse once pressure is placed on it for control purposes. Goodhart's Law, 1975. In Shakespeare's The Merchant of Venice, Salanio asks, "Now, what news on the Rialto?" He's looking for information, gathering intelligence, and attempting to identify what's happening in the marketplace. Salanio doesn't intend to control the business unfolding around him. He knows he cannot. He looks to understand the flow of news, to find his place in the market. Janet Yellen and the Federal Reserve would do well to be as humble. The word market invokes images of everything from prehistoric trade goods to medieval town fairs to postmodern digital exchanges with nanosecond speed bids and offers converging in a computational cloud. In essence, markets are places where buyers and sellers meet to conduct the sale of goods and services. In the world today, place may be an abstract location, a digital venue. A meeting may amount to nothing more than a fleeting connection. But at their core, markets are unchanged since traders swapped amber for ebony on the shores of the Mediterranean during the Bronze Age. Still, markets, whether for tangible commodities like gold or for intangible such as stocks, have always been about deeper processes than the mere exchange of goods and services.